إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, we continue with our series on resilience. As I said, the first step in resilience is to face the facts. Now, in facing the facts, it's not just a matter of random brooding on what happened, but to systematically analyze the events, to analyze what went wrong, and to analyze what options you had which you did not exercise. Very important to understand is the importance of these three steps. First of all is to actually accept and recognize what happened. As I said yesterday, not put a spin on it, not try to make yourself look good or bad, but to get the data right. The famous Gigo principle works brilliantly in analysis. Garbage in, garbage out. Gigo. Bad data gives bad decisions. So if you rose wash the data to make yourself look good, then you will make bad decisions. You suffered once, you will suffer again. So don't do that. Analyze what actually happened. Number two, look at what options you had. You exercise one option, and that is the reason why you are in the mess today that you are in. But there were other options also. What were those options? And the third one is to say, what should I do now going forward? Right? So very important, these three things to be clear in your mind. To give you an example, you might find that you borrowed money on interest to buy a house. You took out a mortgage on the house. Then you decided to buy a car. And for that you took another loan, right? And so on and so forth. So appliances and whatnot to furnish the house. So you took out a third loan. And now you are over your head in debt and you are in trouble. So very clearly face these facts. This is what I did. Now at that time, what options did you have? Obvious option you had for the first one is to live in a rented house instead of taking out a mortgage. If you had been paying rent, you would not be in debt. Now, the usual spin that people put on it is to say, no, but you know, rent is going to somebody else. Who do you think the mortgage money is going to? Is it going from your top pocket to your bottom pocket? The bank is not somebody else. So don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. So now you are sitting on the street because the bank called back the loan and you didn't have the money to pay it. Your car got repossessed. So now you are walking on the street. So what options did you have? At the time of buying the car, you had the option of buying a second-hand car. But of course, you told yourself at that time, no, how can I buy a second-hand car? What will the world think? The world would have thought that you are somebody who knows what to do with his money. When you bought the new car on a loan, the world knows the car doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the bank. You think you are driving a $50,000 Toyota Land Cruiser, yours, the world knows it's a $50,000 Toyota Land Cruiser, which belongs to the bank, and by the time you have it, it will be a second-hand $100,000 Land Cruiser. Because by the time you pay the interest on it, the price of that thing would have doubled. And of course, the number one problem with all of this is that you, when you decided to do all this, you also accepted the declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on all those who deal with interest. And all this while you kept telling yourself, no, but you see, I live in the West, I live in the East, I live in the North, I live in Antarctica, I live God knows where, and therefore these things I have to do. One more of the self-deceptions that you decided to indulge in. Of course, you know and I know, there are enough examples of other people living exactly in the same place as you. Please notice, I'm not giving you the example of people somewhere else. I'm talking about people living in your city, in your neighborhood, who choose to do other than what you did. And so, now when you are sitting on the street or on the pavement, and now when you are sitting in the trailer park, having been evicted from your house, you see that your other friend is still living in his own apartment, the same apartment that you looked down upon, but he is living there quite safely and quite comfortably, and he is not on the street because he decided not to take on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in war. The same thing happens in many other cases. I am only giving you examples to illustrate. Many times people say they start businesses, or they build houses, or they do this or that, and then they pay bribes. And then they tell you, oh, but you see, I did not go and offer the bribe. I was forced. You were forced? What force is that? Somebody held a gun to your head and took the bribe? In which case, it is fine, you can pay it. If they held a gun to your head, then it's not a bribe, you are being robbed. And there is no sin on you, because the other guy was actually holding a gun to your head. But in this case, there was no gun to your head. You wanted a permission from the government for something. And the man who was sitting there, he knows it is illegal. The government does not have, it's not part of the government's rules that you should give that bribe. But the man who's sitting there, he tells you, unless you give me this money, I will not give you the permit. Now, you know and I know that there are legal ways of dealing with that. But you decided, well, all that takes too long. So I give the bribe, I convince myself that I did not go and offer it. That man forced me, so therefore I am okay. Until one day, it comes around to bite you in the back. Then what do you do? Now try convincing somebody else that you were forced. It is absolute nonsense. It is absolute nonsense. You were not forced. You were given an option. And the option was, take it legally, it might take you longer. Or, including, you will not get this. Okay, so you will not get it. But you have not done anything haram, you have not defied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, you have not gone against the law of the land, you have tried to be honest. And once again, I can show you any number of examples in your own country, in your own city, where you live, of people who chose to do the right thing, who chose not to fall into this trap. So don't want to fool yourself, go ahead, no problem, but you can't fool anybody else. So in resilience, the first and foremost thing to do is this. What did I do? What did I choose to do? Number one. Number two, what other options did I have? Now, as I told you, the Gigo principle, garbage in, garbage out. Unless you frankly and forthrightly and objectively analyze and accept where you went wrong, there is no hope in the world of correcting yourself. So if you want to get out of the problem, you have to first recognize that there is a problem. And you have to recognize that I am the cause of this problem. It's not somebody else's responsibility. So-and-so did not force me to do it. Right? It is not the Muslims, it is not the Jews, it is not the Zionists, it is not the Israelis, it is not the Americans, it is not the Australians, it is not the Africans, it is not nobody, it's me. I chose to fall into this hole. I knew there was a hole, yet I chose to fall into this hole. Unless you accept that, and unless you accept that this is the hole which I am in, you cannot get out of the hole. So the first and foremost question, requirement, if you want to get out of the hole, is to accept that you are in the hole and that you got yourself in there. be objective about this. I'm not saying you have to beat yourself over the head. No. Mistakes happen. So no problem, alhamdulillah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best of those who make mistakes are the ones who make tawbah. So inshallah, you make tawbah. Straighten your line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tawbah, ya Allah, whatever I did wrong. I make tawbah, I accept it. Please help me out of this mess. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help inshallah. And then face these facts. And the third part is, now what are the options? Now that I am in this mess, and I realize what I could have done, now what are the options? And of course, the first option is to accept this and to make apologies to whoever is concerned. And of course, there will be other options. All of these things depend on what particular situation that you are in. But there are always options. As I told you yesterday, as long as you are alive, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you to change the situation with yourself and others. So therefore, then look and say, going forward, what are the options? How can I get out of the mess that I am in? And I can tell you many stories of people, alhamdulillah, who have made these choices. Not easy choices, but you decide whether the choice is easy or whether being in the mess is easy. If being in the mess is easy, stay there. But then remember that if you have angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mess doesn't end here. The bigger mess that comes after you die, that you can't get out of. So it's much better, much more sensible to correct yourself and ensure that you get out of this mess right here. And as I said, it is doable provided we have the will to do it. And it's my life, I am the one who has to make the choice. And that's why I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to make the right choices and to save us from the wrong choices and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.